Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
And happy to be so. Veronica, are you still at the mic?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have a quick question about something you read in the news, or actually you aired a gentleman who was talking about the O.J. Simpson thing, the knife being found.
Uh-huh.
And he said it was important to pay attention to where it was found. It could have been there from before.
Right.
O.J., why is any of that important? If they do a DNA thing and it's not hers, then fine. And if they do a DNA thing and it is Nicole Simpson's blood, who cares where they found it?
Exactly. And from what I understand, they can't do anything with O.J. Simpson about it anyway.
Well, you can't be tried
twice for the same
thing.
So we'll just know, but we already know, don't we?
We may find some criminal thing. I mean, he purged himself. I don't know how long you can get sent away for that. But if that were to be her DNA, I mean, I would say he purged himself.
Perjured himself?
Yes, means barf. That's what many people did when they heard the...
I was going to say, that's what he makes me want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I just didn't understand why anything would be important other than the fact that, holy cow, after all these years.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they found it was linked to another crime, not even O.J. related, and they were able to get somebody from that? That would be an interesting story.
Yeah.
Well, that would have a lot to say about, you know, the place, you know, if you believe in people being haunted or whatever like that. I mean, his place is, that house has been razed. It's gone.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to buy it.
Or they might have for the wrong reason.
Yeah. But I think the ability to sell the house would have been more to the negative side than that it would be a positive. I mean... I was going to say, who in their right mind wants to move into a house with a big damn murder in it? And then I'm thinking, well, there's so many people that are off track running around.
Probably couldn't afford it, though.
Well, just because you're rich doesn't mean
you're
sane.
Not off track. Right. Thank you.
Right. Just wondering. That was all. That's it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had two things.
I dismissed the second one. I made an editorial decision.
Oh, okay. Speaking of dismissing... I find it fascinating that Jerry Hall and Rupert Murdoch finally got married. They talked about being engaged. She's about our age, isn't she? She's almost 70. He's 116 or
but
something
much taller
like that.
Than we are.
Right. So in their significantly older age, they got married. And I always find that interesting. Yeah, you know, Frank and Martha from the nursing home got married and they're 96 and 94. I also find it interesting when people of a certain age, let's say over 70, get divorced. And I know that happens. And I would just be interested in talking to people who have done either or who are related or friends with people who have done either. I always say when you marry at our age, what's the old expression that the other person's looking for a nurse or a purse? That there's not a, how do I say this without just sounding horrible?
Oh, go ahead. You have a track record.
Just I cannot imagine marrying at this age, because when you do, you're really just buying into one of you winding up being a caretaker, basically. You know, at our age, well, at our age, people die. I mean, Pat Conroy was only 70, and he just died. Only 70. So I just wonder, 312-981-7200, are you a person who has chosen either to get married at the age of 70 or older, or to get divorced at the age of 70 or older? I always find that fascinating as well, that the old, oh, well, I've stuck it out this long mindset doesn't kick in.
You know, now I have a friend who did that. Who? She was not the older one. She married a man 15 years older than she.
Okay. And richer? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was closer to the same.
Okay.
You know, there was a parallel thing. I think she wanted to be married because he was so he cared about her, and he desperately wanted to be married because he had had a wife who had Alzheimer's, and, you know, he stood by her through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very much fun the last 10 years. And they married. He was desperate to get married. She was a little afraid because she'd been single for so long, though he had been single in a way. And I guess he has more money than she. But
Jerry Hall is only 59, a couple of callers have said.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
So 25-year age
and
difference
Rupert
between
Murdoch
the two.
Rupert Murdoch is 25. 116? What did we establish as his age? He's in his 80s, I believe. Okay.
Who could be married to Mick Jagger and Rupert Murdoch?
She was never married to Mick Jagger. This is her first marriage. Right.
This is her first?
Yep, this is her first marriage.
I can't take her seriously with this marriage because she did a reality show called Kept, where she was looking for a kept man, like a little pool boy
type. She won. She won or she lost.
She switched roles.
The price you pay is waking up next to that face every morning. It's like, anyway, 312-981-7200. If you are or know someone who chose to get married significantly later in life, or more interesting, I find, to get divorced much later in life.
Love and marriage.
Kathy and Judy back. 312-981-7200 is our number. We check our texts from time to time, and we certainly check our call lines. We're talking about people who choose, like Rupert Murdoch. I think this is his number three time, right? To get married.
Maybe four. Who knows?
Yeah, at a significantly older age. He's in his 80s. Jerry Hall's in her late 50s. Or people who choose to get divorced at this point in life. I think that when you choose to get divorced, and I think choosing to get divorced this late in life probably implies a certain financial independence. I'm sure there are plenty of older people that would do it in a minute if they had the financial wherewithal to say, you get your place, I'll get my place. I don't want to look at your face anymore. But I think there's a certain, if you have the financial wherewithal, I think there's a sense of, you know what? I may have 5 good years left, and I'm not spending it with you.
You know, so, don't you think some of it could be based on having adult children who didn't like you as a girlfriend, but could not believe, say, your father married you, and they're making it miserable for you? And
well, that would be for a second marriage. I mean, I think there's certainly people
who've
been...
Oh, you mean first time?
Could be. I mean, I think there are certainly people who have been married for 47 years who look and go, I think I got 10 good years left. I'm not spending it with you. I'm out of here. Or it could be the second marriage where you say, this was a bad idea. So just interested in talking with you. 312-981-7200. This is Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm one of the happy people that found true love at the tender age of 70.
Okay. Was that a first marriage for you?
It was a second marriage for me. It was a third marriage for my husband. But my husband and I had met each other. I was 14 and he was 18.
The first husband?
No.
The second husband?
The first time I met my current husband.
Okay.
And then we separated for 52 years.
Okay.
And then his wife passed away. And one very ordinary day, he called me, and life totally changed forever. And we are just blissfully happy. We were like teenagers again.
Now, like you say word, that part, that phase has ended. It's a little bit more calm now.
Yes, it has. It has. We've settled down a little bit. But we're still, I mean, you know, it's still a very happy, very solid, very good marriage.
I'm sorry, did you say how long?
Pardon me?
How long have you been married to this person?
3 years now.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I hope it remains that happy. Are you both in good health?
Yeah, we're both in fair health. But my husband takes good care of me, and I hope I take good care of him.
Okay.
And, you know, when we married, it wasn't for money, and it was just for love.
Well,
we were just we were both in love like we had been when we were teenagers when we first met.
I want to ask a personal question.
You go ahead, because I was going to.
Okay. Sure. Do you think it's the same one? I was going to ask, are you going to be able to be buried together? Or do you have to go back?
Oh, that's not my question.
Do you have to go back to the other person?
Yeah. He wants to be cremated, and I'm taking, I do not want to be cremated, so I'm going to take his ashes with me in the casket.
Oh, well, that, I guess that's he's presuming he's going first, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, okay. Glory, before you go, my question is, how's the sex?
Fabulous.
Good for you. That's great. Congratulations. Better than the first time around?
Pardon me?
Better than the first marriage?
Oh, yes. I was divorced for, I don't know, 35 years.
Okay.
Oh, so that's another interesting thing, that you were single and can get used to being married.
But he was married. He was married for 37 years with his second marriage. And very happily.
Okay.
And I think that had a lot to contribute to why he wanted to get married again.
I think, in general, men want to get remarried more than women want to get remarried.
I think it has to do with what Gloria said, too. If you had a happy marriage, you're more interested in creating another marriage because marriage was good to you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations, Gloria.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is Kathy, whose mom remarried at 70. Was that your mom?
Yes. Excuse me. Just a minute.
Wait a minute. Was that your mother that we just...
I was laughing at your last conversation.
Okay.
Yes, it was my mom. She divorced my dad when she was 59 and remarried my stepdad at 70, and they had 18 wonderful years together. They drove all over Northern Illinois dancing over into Iowa. They would go dancing.
Very sweet.
It was fabulous.
Who died first?
Actually, my dad and mom divorced, and
in the second marriage.
On the second marriage.
Okay, my stepdad.
He died before. Did she die soon after?
No, they were, it was pretty close to their 18 years that they were together, and no, he died first. My mom was in the nursing home with dementia, and he just took wonderful care of her, but she was never, never happier, never.
Oh, that's very sweet, very sweet.
And my husband and I stood up with them when they got married, and I am now a widow myself, and I'm 70, but no marriage for me, thank you.
So your first marriage wasn't so great that you want to say,
No, it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Okay, so
I've been single for like 12 years, and I'm just very content with being single.
Well, I can relate to that. So I just saw a meme on Facebook that said, I've been single for a long time and it may be too soon, but I think this is the one. Good luck to you, Kat.
I'm not looking, but it's not to say if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be open to it. But it's not on my bucket list.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Tommy, can you hear me?
Are you with me, Kath?
I am now.
Okay.
I
still like
didn't
that.
Hear you there.
Oh, I said, Tommy, can you hear me? Because we're going to talk about Q-tips, which we did a long, long time ago.
Right.
And there was a story, again, from the Washington Post. I don't know why I started reading that online this week. But it was about the fact that Q-tips, of course, should never be put in your ear.
And
it says so on the package. Well,
right.
The guy that invented them used them to, like, apply medicine on a face of a baby, or, you know, where you weren't going to use your finger in the eyes, and all kinds of varied reasons. And, of course, they took off like wildfire.
Right.
Because people had decided, this feels fabulous in my ear. And so you're not supposed to use them that way. And what happens is you get into, this according to doctors, an itch scratch cycle, which I have been in since I read this damn article.
Oh, see, I've been in since 1977.
And I just thought it would be called good to get some calls from people who can relate to this, as well as the other things for which they have their joy in the itch scratch cycle, and or other things that they find. I mean, like I use them for if I try and line my eyes, which is getting more and more difficult because of the seriousness of the wrinkles. What people use them for that is tellable on the radio.
Okay, because I remember when we first talked about this years ago with Max Armstrong, and I had confessed that there are few things that feel better, and I mean few things that feel better, than a Q-tip run under warm water and slit into your ear.
Okay, my ear itches right now.
God.
How are your ears right now? Just
they're itchy.
Talking about it.
They're itchy. I wish I had a Q-tip in my purse.
I'm just going to put my finger in my
right.
ear right
it's
now.
It's just like, oh, man, that feels good. And I believe that Max Armstrong said at the same time, oh, that he was kind of relieved to hear that because he thought he might be the only one that found such great pleasure in,
and of course,
in
what
a
we've
Q-tip
discovered
in the ear.
Is that what we've discovered is there's no one is ever the only one for anything.
Anything, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So
new ways you've discovered to use the Q-tips, or how big of a victim are you, and did you break the habit
actually,
of the scratch itch?
I used Q-tips this week. I have a keyboard for my computer that is one of those keyboards that if you spill coffee on it, it won't. It's okay because the keys are kind of raised up and it, but I took the keyboard off and cleaned it and used Q-tips in between all of the rows and in between all of the keys, and what had accumulated in there was not a pretty picture. And I think I went through maybe 10 Q-tips, both ends, before they started coming up not disgusting.
Now, did your ears look longingly at the keyboard
I
and
probably
said, I wish
used...
I was a key?
Oh, man. So 312-981-7200 is our number. If you are among those who have
the scratch itch syndrome, if you've broken it or you have done interesting, useful things.
I'm not sure where you're going with that. What kind of interesting, useful things?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean besides ears?
You know what? I use the Q-tip when I'm cleaning my electronics toothbrush.
Okay, well, 708 says, I own a car detailing business and I use them all the time for detailing. That's Tom at Southland Detail. So that, you know, that makes sense.
I wonder if that's a major supply of detailing. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
There must be crafts.
I would not be able to paint my nails without Q-tips because I don't pay to get manicures.
Right.
So, and I'm terrible at painting with the left hand. So then I just...
It goes over the
everywhere,
it hits
and then you
the
just
cuticle
clean it up
and,
with a Q-tip.
Right. Okay. So there's another good use for Q-tips, and we're anxious to hear from the rest of you. Now, this is not necessarily about a Q-tip. Jim?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, yeah. My dad got us out of using Q-tips when my brother got a marble stuck in his ear. It was a little small pea-sized marble, and it got stuck in his ear, and he went after it with a Q-tip, and he forced it down. So we have a family thing that no Q-tips, no matter what.
No, well, I would say I would start with no marbles.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, my brother did lose his marbles. No.
Did he wind up having to go to the ER to get it out of there?
Yeah.
How'd they get it out?
With a wooden stick and a piece of very sticky surgical glue, and they stuck it in there and grabbed the marble and pulled it right out.
Oh, I was going to say, I would try a straw.
Well, I mean, you know, this was the 1960s, so.
Right.
You know, what would you do?
They didn't go after it with a toothpick or something. But
right.
No, it's just that our family does not buy, use, or even promote Q-tips or anything because of that.
Right.
How do you put your nail polish on then, honey?
Oh, my nail polish? It just goes on mild with it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
You guys have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye. And this is Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
There's an endless use of Q-tips.
Okay.
That's endless. First of all,
we're all ears.
You have to use them on your ear, and then you have to break them in half and use the hard part to really scratch the ear.
Oh, my God.
No.
You are hard.
You don't have the wood ones, do you?
Oh, Nancy.
No, no, no. But really, there are other uses.
Oh.
I used to take them and give them to the kids to use as paint brushes so that I wouldn't have to wash the brushes afterwards.
And oh. Okay.
You know, the little toddlers would just smear it around. You can use it to glue things. I bought a beautiful secondhand cabinet once, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to clean this thing because it has a lot of nook and crannies. Well, it arrived clean. They had cleaned it for me before it came. I said, how did you get in there? Q-tips. They used
uh-huh.
Q-tips.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah. And I am going to take my keyboard apart and use Q-tips on the keyboard. I don't know why I never thought. Of course you can use Q-tips on electronic things.
Now, Nancy, how often do you Q-tip your ears and then break it off? I mean, do you do it daily as a part of your toilet?
Oh, no, because it really is bad to do that. But, you know, during allergy season, my ears just go nuts.
So is this allergy season? I don't know.
No, I don't
use
them.
It's August. Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. Now, Nancy, the next time you call, I want you to turn off your radio before we put you on the air.
Oops.
Okay. Thanks, Nance.
Bye.
312-981-7200. Don't forget to turn your radio off before we talk to you.
Or visit Travelonie.com. Prices per person based on double occupancy for select departures starting May 2nd, including charter, air, and frontier from O'Hare, and taxes and fees, including September 11 security fee. See applevacations.com for baggage charges. Prices subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. PC14064.
I have a question about that commercial, because I hear it a lot. Does Travelonie look like Travel One? Is it?
I would think it'd be Travel Only.
No, they say Travelonie. They don't say only. But Travelonie, I mean, if you look at Travel One together as one word, that could look like Travelonie. But
abalone?
Exactly. Exactly. I was trying to think of another word that would be the same.
Or baloney if it was O-G-N-A.
Or O-N-E-Y. I mean, some people spell baloney B-A-L-O-N-E-Y. I think that's how they spell it on the commercial where they sing it. But anyway, every time I hear that, I always think Travelonie. Is it T-R-A-V-E-L? Does it look like Travel One or is it Travelonie? Anyway, minor things.
My mind.
We're talking. Oh, Kristen.
Oh, I was just going to say that caller Rose really wanted to be on the air, but she was on Bluetooth and it was just impossible to hear her.
Okay.
But she recommends I don't know how to say it, Scalpicin, S-C-H-L-P-I-S-I-N. It's an anti-itch for your scalp, but if you put a few drops in your ear, it relieves the itch.
Oh, well.
But start to grow hair in your ear.
There you go.
And that's very kind of Rose, but then you lose the whole point of sticking a warm Q-tip in your ear, which is intense pleasure, right?
Yes. Unless you like drops in your ears.
Yeah. I remember as a kid getting drops in my ears. All right. Here's from the text line. I'm so glad you brought this topic up. I'm absolutely addicted to Q-tips for taking water out of my ears after showering. I go crazy with anxiety if I don't have a Q-tip when I get out of my shower. I have gone out in the middle of snowstorms to buy some.
Oh, my God.
From 630. I use Q-tips to clean the slightly raised slats of wood on furniture cabinets that are hard to clean. I use Q-tips to clean power button and camera in my iPhone. Cleaning and eyeshadow application when traveling. Put makeup on tips, put in a baggie, and moisten when ready. Oh, interesting to have Pardon?
What do they do?
She puts makeup, like I suppose maybe shadow or concealer, on the Q-tips, then puts them in a bag and travel so they're all ready to go. Yes, ear scratching is the best use, and now they make safety tips that barely go in the ear. Well, who wants that? But the best use has to be remote control and keyboard cleaning. A lot of texts on this.
They had good cleaners.
Q-tips on sale for 50 cents at Walgreens.
At a big box,
like the thousand.
The one across the street, Walgreens. Okay. And they had them on sale because they were pointed. Like, so they came to a point instead of being rounded at the end.
Okay.
But I bought them because they are perfect for keyboard cleaning.
Oh,
so then we all had like a keyboard cleaning party here at WGN because I was like, oh my God, look at these Q-tips.
50 cents.
And then it's kind of like you get that sick pleasure of seeing all the nastiness in your keyboard.
That's how I felt after I cleaned that keyboard. It was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
This from 847. Ear scratching is the best use for Q-tips. Now, that was about the safety tips. This person says, I love drying my ears with a Q-tip after a shower. And then before I toss it, I go into the very corners of the bathroom floor and areas that are hard to get to.
As long as she keeps it in that order.
Right, you get a little wax on the Q-tip, and then it cleans up all the hair and crap that's in the corners of your bathroom. The old expression is nothing smaller than an elbow in your ear. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't happen.
No, exactly. I'm just looking to see if there are more. My piano tuner suggested using Q-tips to clean the corners of the piano keys. Good tip, but it doesn't happen very often. 219 uses them to help clean the bathroom drain. 815 uses them to clean the small cooling fans in computers.
Where do you find those?
What? There's
where
a fan.
Where do you find your fan?
It's way inside. You'd have to take apart your PC.
Oh, not happening in my life.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's a fan in laptops. Is there a cooling fan inside laptops?
Depends on the brand.
Okay.
Like, I know Dell has, I think a Dell laptop has some sort of a cooling fan.
Does your Mac?
I don't know. I think it must, but because it doesn't get as warm on your lap, but I don't ever hear it.
All right. All of my daughter's doctors used to say they never saw cleaner ears. She hears everything. I'm not sure what that's connected to.
So she's saying that she pushed them in her kids' ears.
Oh, maybe.
Even against the admonition on the side of the box, like
right.
The entire world does.
Right.
This winter, I went to the doctor, or went to a convenient care, because I thought like I had major hearing problem because it was like muted,
right?
And I'm like, I just don't know what it is. Like, I've tried to pop my ears, like it's just so weird. And the doctor looked at me put the little flashlight in my ear, and she goes, oh, it's just wax buildup. I go, what? I clean my ears every day when I get out of the shower. And she goes, yeah, that's why,
because
it just pushes it in.
And did she pull out a wax worm?
No, well, it was she used the high pressure water
spray,
and then like it comes out in a little tub underneath your ear, so then you could see it.
And
amazing.
Is it like a wax worm?
Yes.
Is it bright orange?
It was black.
Ew.
But I was so like amazed by it.
You know, that reminds me of something that occurred to me in the last week or two. Urgent care, the drugstores almost all have them now. CVS, Walgreens, many, many of them have urgent care. There are also other urgent care places popping up with names that make it sound like they're franchises. Like Physicians Care, I think, is one. So if you could buy... I mean, you can buy a hamburger franchise. Can you buy an urgent care franchise? Obviously, you have to have licensed physicians or physician's assistants, but that seems to be the new
thing. It's awesome.
Because I know when you go, at least in my experience, if you try to get a doctor appointment,
Never.
You say, I'm coughing up blood and I think I have a brain tumor. They'll go, all right, well, we can get you in a week from Tuesday.
And then when you get into the doctor, they'll be like, oh, you're coughing up blood. Oh, we have to recommend you to the gastro specialist.
Exactly. So I can see the appeal of urgent care because you just walk in and say.
But, I got a bill and I have really good insurance. And I was surprised about that.
You got a bill from an urgent care?
I did.
Oh.
And maybe, since we're in the Allstate, studio, I'm not going to say who it is, but.
Well, you have Medicare, don't you?
No, I'm on my husband's, my young husband's work program.
Right. Well, I have Medicare and Blue Cross Blue Shield, and. While I may occasionally see a statement, I never get a bill. Yeah.
I love to look at the top and says, this is not a bill.
Bill, right. Exactly. If anybody knows about all those urgent care centers, obviously within a Walgreens, that has to do with Walgreens or CVS or whatever. But the freestanding urgent care centers or critical care centers, are those franchises? I suppose that's something I could look up.
Come to Tucson, where everyone's, we're oldish,
except right,
for the university, and they're everywhere. I mean, the freestandings,
right?
And because they look kind of palatial. They look like you're in Las Vegas.
They're fancy.
Well, they're fancy on the outside, and then on the inside, they're fancy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. This is Elaine. Hey, Elaine.
Hi.
Your use for Q-tips?
My use for Q-tips is to clean the lint out of your navel.
Oh, I'll bet you that would feel good, too.
It does. It does. Nice and warm.
Kathy's going home and have a party.
Particularly if you have an innie navel.
Right. And a little warm water on that thing?
Yes. And if you want to do a thorough job... Before you
get the vacuum
shower,
cleaner, you what?
Well, there's that. But before you get in the shower, put a little petroleum jelly in the belly button.
And what does that do?
Well,
it sticks to all the lint.
That's right.
And you can slip it up.
Yeah, and it'll probably look worse than your keyboard when you're finished on that Q-tip.
Wow.
On the tip of the Q-tip.
Wow. Never thought of that one. Okay.
I used to clean my belly button.
It works.
From time to
Thank
time.
Thank you,
but
Elaine.
I don't think I have any lint in it.
Well, do you have an Audi?
No, an innie.
Huh.
What do you have?
I have an innie. Don't most people have innies?
I think so.
I think Audi is.
Let me check my belly button.
312-981.
Oh, there's all this belly around it. I can't get there.
All right, this is David. David?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
That's what we do here. Right.
Well, first of all, I heard that Advocate bought all the Walgreens, I don't know if they call them urgent care or whatever. And second of all, I used to work at a major clinic out here in Aurora, and they had what they called an urgent care. And somebody showed up one time they were with a heart attack, and Pam Zekman from Channel 2 did a big investigation, and they got fined $250,000.
Wait a minute.
Why?
Somebody showed up with a heart attack, and what did they say? You've got reflux or something?
Oh, I don't know what they told them, but that turned into a big investigation by Channel 2, and they got into a lot of trouble and got fined. So these clinics that are popping up better be very careful if they're calling these urgent cares, because they could wind up in a lot of trouble.
Huh, interesting. Okay, well, thank you, David.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our number. We have to go and take care of a little bit of business. We've been talking about urgent cares and clinics in drugstores. And, Lori, you can tell us what the difference is or what they need to be.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a compliance officer with Physicians Immediate Care, and the difference is the clinics that are within a Walgreens, those are run by nurse practitioners, and those have a very set of circumstances. They can see a patient, for instance, sore throat, a cold, and those sort of things.
Right.
And urgent care, to be called an urgent care, you must have x-ray on site. We handle everything from sutures to fractures. And
do you handle heart attacks?
No, absolutely not. And we specifically do not handle heart attacks.
But if somebody walks in and they're having a heart attack, you have to handle it.
To a hospital? You just call an ambulance?
Absolutely. We dial 911.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of why I called. I really want to educate, and our urgent care group really wants to educate folks on our position in the urgent care or health care continuum. You know, we don't want to be your primary care, and we don't want to be the emergency room. We're right there for that stopgap.
Okay. What would somebody come to an urgent care versus a walk-in clinic? For a walk-in clinic, you can go and have them check out a cold, diagnose a UTI, minor stuff like that. An urgent care is for if you think you've broken a leg or broken a bone, or if you think this horrible headache you're having is not a good thing.
Or your appendix feels like it's going to burst.
Right.
Or something
is that
like
what
that?
Urgent care is for?
Okay, good question. An urgent care is
you know what?
Handle...
You know what, Lori? Why don't you hold on? We're already late for news. Why don't you hold on and we'll clarify everything after the news? Will that work for you?
Absolutely.
All right, great. Thank you. We have urgent news. Well, it's not. I'm not sure how urgent it is, but it is news here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
This is an unusual moment on the show.
What's that?
We're providing clarity.
Yes. Well, we aren't. Lori is. We were talking before the news about urgent care centers, about the clinics in your Walgreens or CVS, and what's the difference? And Lori, you can tell us.
Correct.
All right.
So,
let's do that.
Okay. Sure. Again, the Walgreens, CVS, those are staffed with nurse practitioners who, within their practice, can address several things that include a cold, flu, those sort of items. At an urgent care, and you have to have certain parameters to be in an urgent care, we could do x-rays on site, we do sutures. We also do the colds and flus, sinusitis.
Do you set a broken bone, and are you run by people that have a different degree than nurse practitioner?
Yes and yes. Number one, yes, we deal with fractures. I will say if it's a complicated fracture, for instance, the bones going through the skin or whatnot, we, of course, send those on to the hospital. And yes, in our practice, we have MDs, we have physician's assistants, and we also have nurse practitioners.
Somebody texted us and said many of the urgent care centers are operated by a hospital. Kristen was telling us their Northwestern Medicine has some urgent care centers, one just off Michigan Avenue.
One in Lakeview.
Right, and in Lakeview. Those are operated by hospitals, so those obviously have a wider range of issues they can address.
What they would typically do is they would address the urgent care, and same as us, then they would refer them on to a specialist within the hospital.
Okay.
Right. But an urgent care has very specific services that they can offer, and then they would refer on for anything beyond that service.
Okay. So these places that are popping up that are not associated with a hospital, there's one, I think it's called Physician's Care or something like that, and I've seen it in a couple... Pardon?
Physicians Immediate Care?
Yes. What is that like a franchise?
No, actually, that's who I work for. And we do have some partnerships with some of the hospitals, and we also have some independent clinics. I will say at Urgent Care Association of America, which I belong to, there are some franchises within that. Physicians Immediate Care is not a franchise. We are independent, and... but we work within the urgent care parameters.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we were talking about, and it's good to get some clarity on it.
And
thank
you should get a raise from your company.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant idea. I hope he's listening. But, no, I'm glad to help because I do feel passionate about that urgent care fill-in that need in our society.
Right, absolutely. And it's so much faster than an ER. It's so much faster than waiting for an appointment 2 days down the line at your doctor's office. You just go in and get it taken care of. Lori, thank you for the call.
My pleasure.
Okay. When we come back, we talked about this in the promo. I am curious, who goes to events like ice skating competitions? And I'm not outside understanding the appeal of something. I used to go to many drum and bugle competitions. I've probably been at many, maybe half a dozen, but I always found that fascinating.
Where would they be held?
They were up in the northwest suburbs, I remember. There's a lot of them. There are drum and bugle competitions are everywhere in the summertime. And I've also been to a handful of fireworks competitions in Montreal, in Michigan, a couple others. It's where fireworks manufacturers display their stuff. And so,
are they really competitions? Do they get a prize?
No, they really are competitions. Yeah. And you see fireworks generally a couple years before they're going to be seen in, you know, in your town's fireworks display. But I'm just curious, Judy, have you, you said I have one word, TV. Have you ever gone, but aside from concerts, many of us have gone to a concert. I don't anymore. But have you ever gone to an event that draws hundreds or thousands of people where you're watching something happening? That's not a concert.
I've been to the rodeo here.
Oh, okay.
And where they, you know, wrestle calves to tie them.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know that was going to be there. I thought I'd see like a bunch of Gene Autry's or something.
Okay.
But also, I heard this amazing story this morning in terms of there was a competition. And it was about a blind guy and his brother went to a rattlesnake festival in Texas, where over a period of 3 days, they go out and try and rid the area of the snakes. And they catch at the end of 3 days, 1.5 tons of rattlesnakes.
Wow. Okay.
And so... Yeah, that's one I wouldn't go to.
Right.
But
apparently
exists.
A lot of people do.
A lot of people do.
And apparently there's a competition every year among the people who come out and locate the utility lines for Julie. They send them out somewhere and they all have to find the utility lines. And that's a national, maybe it's a regional competition. But 312-981-7200... What events, and we're leaving out concerts, what events do you go to that draw a lot of people to see some interesting, perhaps unusual...
Display or competition?
Stuff.
Show,
correct.
Show choir competitions.
Okay.
People travel from, like, Ohio. Like, there are schools from Ohio that gather for, like... these regional show choir competitions, and it's all these high schools, and I loved going to them a few years ago.
What's a show choir? You mean from a Broadway show?
No,
no,
they're
from
like
a school.
It's like they sing and dance, kind of cheesy.
What's the
they
one? What's the movie that there's been two of them with Anna Kendrick?
Oh Pitch Perfect.
Right.
It's like
an a cappella competition or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, music stuff. And I would imagine for most of those. People have a vested interest. They have a kid in the choir or they're an alum of the school. 312-981-7200. Back to your calls. It's a drum and bugle corps competition. We're just talking. I was fascinated when watching the ice skating competitions. I'm not sure if it was the North American or whatever, that there were thousands of people in the audience, and I'm just interested in what kinds of competitions or events people routinely go to see. I cop to seeing drum and bugle corps competitions a lot in the 60s and 70s. I was fascinated by it. And also fireworks competitions. Love fireworks competitions. So from you on the On the text line at 312-981-7200, here's some of the answers. Dog agility competitions, especially the IKC show at McCormick Place. Somebody else from 224 says, I just started working at Starbucks. The barista competition is soon. I might go. Let's see, what else? Ballroom dance competitions. Fascinating. So, Boy Scout Jamboree. This is Vince, our friend, the garbage man, Vince. Hey, Vince.
Hi, Vince.
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
All right. What competitions do you like to go to?
We do truck rodeos.
And
how does that work?
We go out and we compete.
In garbage trucks?
Garbage trucks, semis, all sorts of different types of vehicles. You go, there's an obstacle course you got to drive through. It's extremely tight and challenging, and you're judged on how close you can get to things without hitting stuff.
So rodeos.
Do you have the arm? Do you have like the arm of the truck reaching for things and pulling them in?
No, we don't do that. It's pretty much about moving your truck around in an area.
So it's agility in a way.
Basically, yes. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, you got to back into docks and. It's very hard because it's all done with cones. It's not like, you know, a normal dock situation, or you have to drive through, put tires in between cones that
right.
have tennis balls on them, and you can't knock them off and stuff like that. So
truck rodeos. Who knew?
Have you ever been in one, Vince?
What's that?
Have you ever been in one?
Oh, yeah. I've competed.
Do you win?
Yeah, it's not very easy. No, it's not easy at all.
Mm.
And when you get all those people watching you, it's even more nerve-wracking. So,
okay, thank you.
Love knowing about that.
Tough.
Okay, Vince, another one says kite festivals. In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and northern Wisconsin, my family and I have gone to several lumberjack competitions, chopping a log in half, climbing a pole with a rope, and speed chainsaw competition. Very entertaining. Livestock shows. I will be in Boston at the end of the month to see World's Figure Skating Competition. Can't wait.
I would love to see a figure skating competition.
In person.
Yeah.
Right. This is Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, you guys mentioned drum corps, and they're still going on stronger as ever. The Drum Corps International, DCI.org, is the governing body of that, and Chicagoland has two of the top in the country. In Rosemont, Illinois, they have the Cavaliers.
Okay.
And in Rockford, they have the Phantom Regiment. And
but it's not just. Do they have bugles as well, or is it just drums?
Yeah, it's mostly brass instruments. And
right.
drums. So yeah, but they get into it, and I have friends. I'm a musician myself, and I have friends who march for years and years, and they still do adult corps, and they get into it, and a lot of. On 4th of July, those Phantom and Cavaliers, as well as some other corps, will split up their corps and hit a number of parades. So there is a good chance in some of the local parades
right.
that you'll be part of them. But,
right. And a movie like Drumline, I can watch that over and over and over again. That is really cool.
And
Andrew, thanks. Go ahead.
Sure. Oh, there's a new documentary coming out about marching bands, and it features Carmel, the marching band out of Carmel High School down in Indiana.
Okay.
Outside Indianapolis. And that's supposed to be coming out soon, like talking about the positive effects of music education.
Do you know the name of it?
I think it's marching. I know if you do marching band documentary, it should pop up.
Okay.
All
right.
Do you know what I'd go to?
Thanks for the tip, Andrew. What?
Sure.
I would go to a cheerleading competition.
I'll bet you would. And there are plenty of them. And they are very intense.
How do you find out about them?
Well, that's what the internet's for.
Like nearby cheerleading.
Just put in cheerleading competitions.
I'm kind of close to Texas out here. That could probably take a little journey.
You will see the biggest hair and the best cheerleading.
Bonanza. This is Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. What do you go to?
I'm going to robotics.
And are they R2-D2 kind of robotics or little kind of robotics?
No, they're made according to scale. They have to be a certain size. They have to be able to work out on a certain field. My grandson is in a group. This is his first year, and they made it to nationals.
Well, cool. So, So your interest is sort of focused on the fact that you have a grandson who's into that.
Right.
All right. Right. Great. Thank you, Dorothy.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. This is another Kathy. Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
We're on our way to a show choir
competition.
Yeah, competition at Hersey High School today.
So that's right nearby.
Yeah, in Mount Prospect. And my granddaughter is from Ohio. They're driving in on a bus this morning, and they're going to be competing.
How long an event is that? Is that a 3 or 5 hour event?
It's all day. They started with the middle school early this morning, and then they're doing the high school. It goes till 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Would you go if your granddaughter was not in it, or do you go to these?
I have never gone to this part of it. I've gone to Ohio State when the band has competed, and that is outstanding. High school bands, and then Ohio State performs for everybody at the end. Oh my gosh, it was so moving.
And with the show choirs, they often have choreography and not just singing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
She plays the musical instrument for the dancers and the singers.
Oh, cool. So, well, have a great day. Have a great day, Kath.
Oh, thank you.
And if anybody else wants to join her, that's Hersey High School in Arlington Heights, I believe.
But a chair is not a house. And a house is not a home.
Oh. Talking about...
House is not a home, right.
A house
okay.
is not a home. Some folks moved out of the neighborhood this week, and I was talking to the mom. Their kid was about 8 or 9. And I said, so where are you going to move? And she said, well, there are two houses we really like. We like one a little more than the other. And Luke likes the one, that's the 9-year-old. Luke likes the one that we like a little bit less. But we decided that in order to avoid trauma, that we would take the one we like a little less. And I
because
had to
Luke
bite
likes it
to keep my tongue quiet. I
oh
couldn't believe
goodness.
It. I tried to be open and thought, well, you know, I mean, she said it wasn't a whole lot. You know, one had this stuff and one had that stuff. And I said, well, you know, I don't know what I would have done if I had a 9-year-old who. You know, preferred one home to the other. I mean, it makes sense to avoid aggravation, but I don't know. That seemed like a lot.
There is actually an ad now, and I'm not sure what it's for, whether it's for Zillow or Realtor or Trulia or one of the real estate websites. They show a family looking, and there's a little boy involved. He's probably 7 or 8. And he looks around and he shakes his head no. And then they go to another place and shakes his head no. And finally, he breaks out in a smile. And it's a house that's got a big tree house or something in the backyard. And so they have found their house
totally
because the eight-year-old decided that's the house he wanted.
I'd be interested in talking to whether
house shoppers.
House shoppers, and when you do include a kid, or do you ever include a kid? Or, of course, you include your kid because it's going to be his home or her home, too. I was stunned, but I'm happy that Luke is happy.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. And maybe we have realtor girlfriends who could tell us that they bring around families and they see this happening a lot because it's possible that some house hunters who do that have picked up on our opposition to it and might be a little reluctant to call because of that.
I think it's fair to defend it. I mean, or not feel you have to defend it. If you've done it, you've done it. And you obviously have good reasons to do it. I would imagine it's more prevalent today than when we were looking for family homes because there's a two-income family very often. And I think, you know, it's been written about ad nauseum. You know, there's a lot of guilt involved in that.
In moving, you mean?
No, in not being home during the day. I think there's sometimes a lot of guilt that you, you know, so that's why so many parents are, hovering parents and good job parents and, you know, all that stuff. So it just, it seems to me that that might account for the fact that it might, I am assuming it happens more today than when it never happened 30 years ago.
When children were not consulted. Children were just told, this is our new
house. Your room.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You'll love it.
Right. I have a Facebook friend who moved, whose family moved within the same town from a larger house to a smaller house. And there were, I think there's three kids in the family. And she posted from time to time about the new house and everything else. And the kids were kind of struggling with the new house. And but then she also posted videos of the kids running through the new house when it was empty. And they're fine. They all live in the new house. And I think I remember at the time thinking, as long as they're with their parents, they're okay. The whole family's the unit and we're all moving from Downers Grove to Frankfurt. It's okay. We're all together.
Well, I was going to say, when you say Frankfurt, I'm thinking Germany. You know, when we moved away, we were basically saying to our kids, we're going to move and you won't be able to talk where we're going because you don't know the language.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
We didn't say that.
Okay, right.
You know, but, you know, and you won't understand TV. But you're gonna love.
It's gonna be. It's gonna be fabulous.
The food is really good, and they let you into the restaurants. That's
yeah.
The
From 847, when my friend moved to Arlington Heights, they went around looking at churches to join with their children who were 6 and 7, and the children picked the one they liked the best because they had more snacks after the service than the others. What a good reason to pick a church. When my boys were young, we were looking for a new house. They wanted a house with the doorbell, any fires back, which is a fireplace. They got both. I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I don't know. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us. This is Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You can relate to this?
I can. We had to move a few years ago, and we have a son with autism, so we wanted to make sure that he felt comfortable, and every time we went to one house, he had a habit of running into the bathroom and turning on all the water, and he just gravitated to this house. So that was the house we bought.
Well, how did you feel about the house?
Yourself? I mean,
me personally, I was okay with it. I figured if we have to move, let's trade up a little bit, and we did. But it wasn't bad. And actually, I'm loving the house. And if it made him more comfortable, then that was what we wanted. You know.
Now, do you think, were your son not to be on the spectrum, that you would not have acceded? Because was there another house you actually liked better?
No, we were still looking, and this was one of the first houses we saw. Mm-hmm. And my husband kept going back to it because he liked the landscaping and, you know, different features of the house. And I said, well, if we don't find anything better, let's go with this one. And then we kept calling it Adam's house. We said, let's just go with Adam's house.
And how's Adam doing in that house?
Actually, a few years later, he's now in a residential group home, but when he comes home on the weekends, it's Adam's house. So it was a good thing. But I get what you're saying about why are you letting the kids select the house, but sometimes it's their house too, and that's where they're going to make the memories, and that's where they're going to come back to with their families. So, yeah, it would be nice if they were paying the mortgage. But it's a family house. So.
I have a question. There's a certain time when people in their lives decide to cut back and get a smaller place, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you can't do that because it'll not feel like home for your son?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not at all. not at all. It's definitely not a McMansion. It's, you know, just a little ranch with a basement, and everybody's got their own bedrooms, and, you know, it's just a typical middle-class house, but, mm-hmm. yeah, it definitely feels like home. And the weird thing is, neighbors, we were worried about some of his behaviors with the autism, and the neighbors could not have been more gracious, and they all said he's being the best he can be, and they just rolled with it. So
that's terrific.
It turned out to be a good thing. It turned out to be a good, good thing.
Excellent. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
312-981-7200. Do your kids have a say in which house you buy?
We are talking about your decision for on a new house and whether or not your child has been influential or had nothing to do with it, and why, if your child was involved in the decision you made, you included that child.
This is Penny, who is a realtor. Hey, Penny.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
So we are finding that the millennials are using their parents to help them make purchases now. And so the 25 to that 35-year-old group bring their parents along. It's not so much the kids that
wow.
have an opinion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they're financing it, you mean?
Exactly. Helping them with the down payment. And uh-huh. so the parents, you know, and the big thing that we're learning is we need to find who's involved in the decision-making process. So we always ask that question up front, if you're smart.
So have you seen instances where the kids, the 20 to 30-year-old kids, love a house, and the parents who are writing the checks say, no, this isn't good. No.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my
absolutely.
Gosh.
What percentage of the clients that you've shown houses to this year would you say have had parents involved because of the financing?
Probably about 25%, 20 to 25%.
Wow.
It's very different. We just took a class on millennials and how they view things differently and how they work differently than traditional buyers that we've worked with in the past. And we we're finding that they do so much research ahead of time that I'm sorry, somebody was talking to me, that they really do a lot of research online, and that the parents, once they get in the house, they a lot of times think that they're buying too much house, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, the starter house, these kids want to move into the house that their parents, it took them 30 years to get to. Or,
oh, right.
You know, they want the forever house.
Right. Not the first house.
Yeah.
Not the starter.
Right.
Exactly. Interesting. I never thought of that. The kids are taking the parents.
You have opened my mm-hmm. eyes.
Right. Penny, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and this is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
So we just recently moved from Illinois to Indiana for the substantially lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also downsized. We got a little smaller house. Our son was going into freshman year in high school, and particularly because our daughter was going into eighth grade, and now she was not going to graduate with all the friends that she had made. We were really concerned about her transition. So the kids, their opinions were important, but in the end, we didn't get the houses that they liked because we have the wisdom of our age. And they were too swayed by granite countertops and new carpeting. And we bought a house from the 70s that had good bones. Every single room needs to be redecorated. But we did our daughter's first. We spent a lot of money. It was $2,000 just to decorate her bedroom.
Yikes.
Because we knew, that was a lot of money, but we knew it was so important at her age and that kind of transition that we just wanted to do what we could to make it easy for her.
You know, the president is staying in Washington until his youngest daughter, Sasha, graduates from her high school. And
yeah, they just announced that this week, didn't
right.
they? Right.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to be moving into a smaller house.
Yeah, significantly, right.
And I can't imagine that he would. I mean, you went forward and bought the house you thought was right, and the granite countertops didn't matter to you because you can put them in when you're ready.
Well, and hilariously, my kitchen does not have a dishwasher. The countertops are laminate butcher block. It is a very terrible kitchen. But to my husband and I, we're in our 50s, if that makes a difference, that was not important to us. And it was making sure our children transitioned well. And I think it was a good decision because they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet her bedroom looks pretty damn good.
For $2,000.
Well, it was an issue of carpeting that would clean easily with water. And we put a big countertop with cabinets underneath because she's always drawing or doing some kind of project. So it's nice, fairly modest. I think that's just an explanation of how much things cost these days.
Wow.
It could be. Well, but you're making custom cabinetry, so that ain't cheap.
There you go.
Yeah, well, we were happy, but it was really important to us that our children be involved in the decision.
And how's everybody doing now?
They're doing great. You know, I came into my car just when you were talking about activities. My son is doing marching band in Indiana, and that is very big, so he's doing great. And my daughter, she just makes friends easily. And I think because of the technology world that we're in, they're still Skyping and they're still connected with their
right.
friends, even though they're
right.
like 80 miles away. So it really helped the transition from when I was a kid and I moved. And we moved 50 miles away and you just thought it was 300 because I never talked to my friends after
right.
the move.
And you're paying less in taxes.
Oh, significantly.
There you go.
So
all right,
happy.
Chris, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. This from the text line, which is the same as the phone line, 312-981-7200. This is about Dad picking a house. We had narrowed down a neighborhood where we, mom, dad, four daughters, wanted to live. We drove up to a pretty colonial for a showing. At the same time, two doors down, four little girls about the age of our girls walked out of their house and climbed onto their tricycles. My husband said he didn't need to go inside because we were going to buy the house. And we did. 17 years later, the eight girls were grown and all the parents moved to empty nest homes. That's sweet.
Very.
That he saw that there were other kids the same age as his kids. And so that's where he wants to live.
I hope that house had a bathroom.
Another texter points out the first time they ever saw a child involved in choosing a house was Miracle on 34th Street, where Natalie Wood was so focused on the house where she wanted to live. Remember that with her mother?
No, I've never seen that, but I would do anything Natalie Wood told me to do.
Ah. Kathy and... Oops. Oh, Downton Abbey, right.
Quick notice. It's going to be on tomorrow night, March 6th, the finale, and we're posting on our website a very thorough article from the New York Times regarding as they go through these six or seven seasons, whatever it is, how assiduously the TV show followed what was actually happening in history in England at that time. And it's really interesting.
Yeah.
You're interested.
Right. And I can't imagine that anybody who has never watched Downton Abbey would tune in for the finale. I know that there was a piece in one of the papers about here's what happened with this person and here's who this is and here's who this is, sort of a map of all the players. But have you seen the last one, Jude?
No, it's tomorrow night. I'm staying suspended.
Okay. All right. I have two. So maybe next week we'll discuss.
Don't say too much. I haven't seen it yet, and I want to.
I'm not saying a damn thing. There's Amy Guth. Hey, World
hey,
Traveler.
Amy, do you watch
hey.
It?
I have not watched it, but it's on my list because it looks so beautiful. I cannot wait
it
to
is.
Watch that show. I just
excellent
have to
clothes.
Set.
And there's a lot of great stuff on the internet now about, the old bags, every insult she's ever
right.
lobbed at somebody and stuff like
right.
that. So that's great fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of great fun, what are you doing on the Wintrust Business Lunch?
Oh, we're doing all kind of good stuff. We're going to be talking about the business model connected to Snapchat because, there's a lot of mystery around it. There's a lot of people that just don't get it. So many people have really strong feelings about Snapchat. So we're going to be talking about that. Then we're also going to be talking about this trend for tiny houses and micro apartments.
Oh, yeah.
It seems appealing in theory, but I think I just have too much crap.
Especially if you're living with somebody else,
yeah,
there's no place to go hide.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be speaking after a couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
In a tiny apartment.
Right. So. And, it's interesting because some of them aren't cheap. Some of them
right.
are $50,000, $60,000.
Yeah. And so
how big are we talking, Amy?
You know, some are really tiny. I mean, it's basically like...
8 feet wide by 12 or 14 feet long.
You can barely get a bed in there. They're really, really tiny. But it's sort of like, I think the people that are really in favor of it kind of are thinking about it in terms of like, it's a way to get access to a very luxurious home. But the trade-off is that it's going to be really, really tiny. But
right, and you can only bring three things to hang in the closet.
Right. You may have one pair of shoes.
Black. Right, exactly. Well, we'll stay tuned for that.
Sounds good. All right, have a great day.
You too.